loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. This is episode number 12, and I am so honored to have as my guest a friend, a mentor, and a true restaurant consulting legend, Rudy Mick, on the show. This interview was taken from a Facebook Live segment we did, and Rudy was kind enough to do this interview while on the road working. And to me, that is the mark of a true professional, taking time to discuss topics that we see restaurants struggle with. His passion for restaurants and leadership really come through on this interview. Rudy delivers valuable insight on how you can improve your leadership game at your restaurant. Enjoy.
All right. Hey, after a little bit of technical difficulty, we are live. Welcome to another RCU live event sponsored by, of course, the Restaurant Coach University. It is the premier online platform for restaurants that want to maximize their potential and who understand that school is never out for the true professional. Tonight, we're going to talk about a topic that is always, always a hot button with restaurants, and that's leadership. And I mean true leadership. You know, we throw the word around a lot. And honestly, I can say that I don't see a lot of real leadership in today's restaurants, and it's sad. And to understand what true leadership is and to help you step up your game to become a leader in your restaurant, I am very, very excited to welcome a friend. And actually, he is a restaurant consulting legend, Rudy Mick, to the show. Hello, Rudy. How are you?
Don, I'm great. It's great to be here, man. And to all your listeners and viewers, howdy. It's great to be here.
You know, the view is very common for me. I've done so many, like, you know, phone interviews and stuff like that from a hotel room, you know, on the road and stuff like that. I'm lucky, you know, tonight I'm actually home in my home studio and stuff like that. But I understand the challenge sometimes of living on the road and living out of a suitcase and working with.
Here we are.
The dream we all dreamed of, right?
There you go.
So for some of the people out there who might not have heard of you, which I doubt, but, you know, there might be some people out there, a few. So why don't you tell people a little bit about you and your background and your story, okay?
Thanks very much, Don. I appreciate it. We are actually the Mick Companies, which is our consulting company, is in now our 36th year. In that period of time, we've worked with almost 1,700 restaurant companies around the United States and in 11 countries. The industry, as most of us know, has an 85% mortality rate. Yep. And in that close to 1,700 openings and growth and chain development, we've actually never had a loser. And I'm really so proud of that piece of data. So we do three areas of work within the restaurant industry and actually other industries as well. Startup, growth, and chain development. And to your point around leadership in all three of those segments of work and areas of focus, leadership is right at the hub, as is clear and effective communication.
Yes. That is always so true. So how did you get started in the business?
I took about 3 years between high school and college, and I have the proud legacy of coming from a blue-collar family. Mm-hmm. So paying for college was not an option, and nor was a scholarship. Right. And so, like a whole lot of folks watching this program, I got to work my way through college. And part of that process, and the easiest way to do it, was restaurants. And in the process, I'll never forget, I was 21 years old, waiting tables, and at that price, at that time in history, a pretty long time ago, check average for 2 prime steaks and a bottle of wine was a whopping $35.
Wow.
and a couple from I was living in Southern Colorado, and a couple from L.A. came into the restaurant, left me a $100 tip, walked out. I literally chased him out the door and said, sir, sir, you made some mistake. You left me way too much money here. The check's only $35. He goes, kid, no problem. We've eaten all over the world. This was the best meal experience we've ever had in our lives. The money's yours. I turned around, walked up to the owners and said, in 4 years, I want to be your partner and learn how to run a restaurant. And that's a true story, and it became true.
You know, I find there's a lot of times that it's like there's a pivot moment in people's lives. And when they're working in this business, when they decide to make it a career, you know, you're going along, you know, and you do the day-to-day grind. You know, Cameron Mitchell tells a story of the same thing. You know, he walked into work on a Friday night, and he was probably like, you know, the laziest guy, he says. And he just walked in, and it was like all, you know, hell breaking loose, chaos in the restaurant, in the kitchen. And he just kind of had this epiphany. He's like, man, I love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
You're absolutely correct. The chaos in creating calm, before we went on the air, you and I were talking about the chaos in the kitchen, right? And as soon as I walk out to the front, it's like everything's chill. It's all life is good.
Yeah.
And the beauty in those days, so that pivotal moment, which you're right, it was a pivotal moment. Mm-hmm. And I realized, man, this is too easy. All I did was treat these people with a smile and care, right?
Yeah.
And about a decade later, I was reading a dictionary and found the definition of the word restaurant and found that the root definition is a place one goes to be restored.
Yes.
And I went, oh my God, that's all we're doing? And the money shows up in buckets. Let it.
That's it.
Yay. Let's go have fun.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about, let's get on the topic here about leadership. Why do you think, you know, why do you think leadership is a struggle in restaurants today?
Wow, I love your question. I think we focus in the restaurant business, there people wear so many different hats.
Oh, yes.
And if I'm an owner-operator, running my own deal, or if I'm a manager in a bigger company that has more stability, what we tend to forget is in the unit we're running, in the restaurant we're running, we spend a huge amount of time talking about management and being a manager, and we spend whatever time training management skills. We rarely remember as an industry that leadership is incumbent to management. And if we spend time at all, it's focused on management rather than leadership.
Right.
Management of stuff rather than inspiring people. And so leadership becomes copping, being a cop and holding the policies in place or telling people what to do.
Right.
And the opportunity is to begin to hold, whether I'm an owner operator, or a manager, I am a leader first. I am the model. And to remember that hat at the same time I'm remembering my manager's hat is a real challenge.
Oh, yeah.
That's first. Yeah. And then the other piece is, can we actually allow our team to be leaders in their own right while they're out on the floor or on a hotline or on the cold line, that there's leadership that shows up without title. And we let that go.
That is the truth. Yeah, and do you find also, too, that a lot of management that's being, you know, trained is, I mean, I think a lot of the management techniques, they're outdated. They're old, you know, like 1970s kind of management styles, and they just don't work, you know, in today's market.
No, and it's hierarchy, right?
Yes.
The typical model in the great majority of restaurants, and I do think this is actually, even though the typical model is what it is, it is well-intentioned, but it's a miss. You are correct.
Right.
It's like, I'm the boss, you're not. Do what I tell you to do. And unfortunately, the great majority of TV shows, of press, of is that policing mentality, policy-driven mentality, as opposed to inspiration or defining excellence in excellence and then supporting people to perform at that level. Right? Yes. It's an out-of-date model for sure.
No, definitely.
Does it work? Yeah, does it work? It, absolutely, it'll work in the short run.
Right.
It does not work in the long run.
No, yeah.
In my opinion.
No, in my opinion, too. I think a lot of the management stuff, and like you said also, too, you know, the examples we have from TV and even, you know, even sitcoms like The Office and stuff like that, they're shown bad examples, and they think that's the way it is, you know, and just like anything, leadership is a modeled behavior. You learn from others. And I use my example of my father, you know, he's not around, but you know, I apprenticed with him and he was a chef and he was that old school Gordon Ramsay, yell, scream, you know, degrade you, beat you down, you know, and when I first became a chef, that was my model of how to be a leader. I thought that's what you did. You yell, scream, you degrade people, and then that's what you do. And I never felt good about it. I just felt like, you know, it just didn't feel like it was me. I didn't feel like, and I had huge turnover. And, you know, and then finally I was like, there's gotta be something better than this. And there's gotta be a better way. You know what? I think I'm just going to be more of myself. And I think I'm going to be more of a coach. Yeah. It was always been my approach, you know, coach, train, teach the why is my big thing I talk about. So.
Yep. Absolutely. That whole why piece that Simon Sinek talks about. Oh, yeah. A lot of us talk about. Absolutely. And to your point, something as tangible as retention. Mm-hmm. If I can, you know, the industry turnover rate is still close to 200% per annum.
Right.
And it's just unnecessary. Instead of thinking of people as cogs in a wheel, how do I inspire them? Our average client, Don, is running at about 20 to 25% turnover.
Oh.
As opposed to 200%.
Which most restaurants.
talk about money showing up at the bottom line and the top line.
Mm-hmm.
And the great nuance of that is coming from, I'm going to choose to be an inspirational leader instead of a leader that's whipping my people.
Right.
In some way.
Yeah. And people do not understand the cost of turnover because they think there's no cost associated with it because it's just, you know, they think it's just people leave and stuff like that. There's a huge, huge cost to your bottom line when you have high turnover, you know. And I hate it just drives me crazy when owners or, you know, managers in the restaurant or general managers give me the things, well, that's just the way it is. It's just, you know, they think it's business as usual and that's expected in this industry. And you know, I hate that. Oh, I hate that.
Right. Well, and so notice your language, even at the moment, of the general manager, and we forget that the general manager is that leader.
Yes.
He or she is. So how do I choose to manage? Right. Am I inspiring and catching people doing things right, or am I whapping people when they do it wrong?
Right.
And the A-plus players don't need to be told when they're wrong.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So who leaves the A-plus players and who am I left with? The C guys.
Right.
And that's incumbent out of leadership, not just management.
Mm-hmm. So what can restaurants do? What do you if you had to give me some baby steps to make that shift, what would be a couple baby steps to help solve that kind of, you know, fix that epidemic that's going on out there?
Well, you had talked about what are, and dare I go here, if there were three basic steps, to take. To me, the first is whether I call myself a manager or a leader, that I coach to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Can I find something right? Hey, great smile. Now. Mm-hmm. Say, greet the guest, make eye contact five steps away, right? Say something positive to the guests as they're leaving or coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome to the restaurant. Thanks for coming, whatever, if they're going or leaving. Coach the positive. That's first. Mm-hmm. Second is actually take the time. We throw the words around like professional or good attitude or bad attitude or hard worker or even clean. Actually define what excellence means in my restaurant.
Right.
Define what excellence is, and the great majority of the players on the team, especially the millennials, will rise to it. Yes. If I just throw the word around, everybody's got a different definition of excellence. Hey, I am excellent, dude. What are you thinking? Right? No, it's not it yet. So define excellence. And then last but not least is define and get really clear on what fiscal success is. What is my food cost? How do I track it daily, not just waiting for the P&L?
Right.
What is my inventory budget, and am I tracking in my fiscal systems in a way that anticipates where we're going rather than waiting around for the P&L?
Oh, yeah. No, I work with my clients a lot on that, because if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And if you're waiting for, like you said, if you're waiting for the P&L, that's like playing the big game on Sunday and then you lost and then you're like, well, I don't know what happened. You know, I love it.
One of the coolest quotes I ever got, and it was from a client of mine, goes, wow, this daily costing process is so cool. It's so much better than waiting for the P&L. Waiting for the P&L is managing by autopsy.
Exactly.
Right? You're already dead.
Yeah.
And now it's 6 weeks later.
Now we're just
the P&L is too late. How do I get proactive in my costing? And how do I teach my team how to read numbers? Yes, I do mean that, folks. Mm-hmm. Read numbers and understand and be part of the responsibility for and accountable for those numbers as well. Three things.
Yeah. That is the big, I love that about, you know, managing by P&L is like, you know, having an autopsy. You're just basically just discovering how they died. You didn't prevent
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You just kind of figure out, oh, wow, you know, food costs took a turn there.
Yeah. And consequently, we end up having our money on the shelves at best, or on overtime payroll or whatever. The money is gone instead of being in the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the another simple part of this is the phrase restaurant business. The pivotal word in that phrase is business.
Right.
And so many of us just think, I know where the numbers are, and it's just not good.
I love that.
It's not good enough.
I call that Murphy the mind reader syndrome, you know. That's the owner.
Yeah.
Oh, I know my numbers. Yeah. I always love it because it's always usually prefaced, you know, like when I ask like a chef, you know, well, what's your food cost? And when they start the statement with it's around, I know right then you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, that's around. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, and so to our viewers, right, as you and I are sharing coach to coach, guide to guide, I want to be really clear. I'm not, and I don't think you are either, laughing at folks.
No.
It's just the habit is, hey, I've got this. I'm so busy that I don't have time to do a inventory count, or we don't have a perpetual inventory system, so I don't have to count. We're not doing, it's this process of, hey, folks, we know you're doing the best you can do.
Right.
And the nuance is, get ready. It's as simple as, what did you buy today? What did you sell today? Divide one number by the other, and that's your food cost.
Exactly.
Period. End of subject.
But you got to know, I always tell people all the time, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it is a business. And I always tell people, profit's not a dirty word. It's okay to make money, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, that's what we, it's kind of a.
Yeah. And the great, you know, part of leadership and management, the great majority of restaurants, when we're asked to come in and take a look, chains or independent, there's three times more inventory on the shelves than they need.
Yes.
And that money in cash could be in the bank instead of sitting on the shelves because the salesman said, oh, dude, you get a 3-case on 5, but I only use 3 cases a month. So why would I buy 5?
Right.
So I'll stop there.
Yeah,
that's a whole class in itself.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Yeah, the pressure from the vendor. I mean, I love working with vendors, but there are, you know, you just got to know. Here's the thing, you know, saying no is probably one of the most powerful words you can learn to do as a leader and as an owner in your business. Learning how to say no selectively is life-changing when you learn to say no. Because I always ask people all the time, you know, do you run your restaurant or does it run you?
Yeah. Well, come back to leadership then. How mm-hmm. do I get to a place as we start working on defining excellence with my team?
Mm-hmm.
Not just telling them, but what does excellence mean? What does a tabletop look like? No matter if we're fast, casual, quick service, full service,
mm-hmm.
what does the tabletop look like, right? What audit look like? What does clean mean?
Right.
And involve my team with that. That is not only management, it is in fact leadership.
Yes.
And I begin to, and my team feels heard and seen. And then we guide each other as opposed to, oh, I can't trust anybody and I've got to tell them, right?
Right. Yeah. Leadership, just like culture, it starts at the top and it flows down. Yeah. So how would you say that, how does hiring and mentoring become a kind of a key leadership function?
To me, those are the two. Developing my people, mm-hmm. whether it's training or mentorship or whatever language we put that, hiring the right people,
right,
and developing those people, I think is leadership's number one task, number one goal.
Right.
To grow, if I want to grow my company, if I want to evolve my company or my team,
mm-hmm.
it's the number one and two job there is for a leader.
Yes. Exactly.
So tied to that, come back to those three basic steps.
Mm-hmm.
What is it my team, current team is doing well? Coach, celebrate that. But the other piece is to define excellence so I know what I'm looking for in a mm-hmm. great candidate.
Oh, yes.
Right? And if we added a fourth piece, Don, to the list, tied to that hiring mentoring role of leadership,
mm-hmm.
the miss I see in most restaurant companies, whether it's chains or independents, one-offs, is we hire when we need somebody and we end up with a pulse.
As opposed to
define excellence, now mm-hmm. interview for that on a regular basis. Interview twice a week. 3 times a week, once a week, whatever your turnover, mm-hmm. whatever our viewers' turnover rate is, interview on a regular basis,
right.
Build our skill sets, doing interviews and defining excellence, and when the A-plus player shows up in my community, hire that person right now, right?
Exactly.
Right, as opposed to so many operators, chains or independents, regardless of segment, mm-hmm. they wait till somebody's quit.
Right.
Now I got to hire the first person that walks in the door, and I'm screwed.
Right. Yeah, because it's a panic hire. That's what I call it. It's a panic hire.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then to your point, the mentoring part. I think back to my career. You've shared mm-hmm. with me stories about yours. Most of the really good operators I know. Anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
there's been a mentor somewhere along the way.
Oh, yes.
I remember that first story that you asked me about or that I shared on our call, I walked up and just said, I want to learn everything I can learn about running a restaurant, and I want to start today, and in 4 years, I want to be your partner.
Right.
Right? And it's just be a sponge.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever I can learn. And not all of our team is going to do that, but
right.
we'll find one or two or three people on a team that will, for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah. There's always, you got to always got a couple superstars on your team that want to do more and be more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And then my thing is, when you find those people, you know, give them what they want, you know, help them grow, help them learn, help them train, or else, you know, just like anything, if they're not growing, they're going to find someplace else that they can. So,
yeah. Well, and you and I are pretty active at the NRA show.
Mm-hmm.
Things like a local food show or the NRA in May,
yes,
in Chicago is like, how do I take my two top performers or my four top performers and take them with me,
right,
to the show or to NAFM or wherever it might be, where there's going to be education and learning, yes, and share that, invest, mm-hmm, in them. It's
right,
powerful return on investment.
Oh, yeah. And there's all kinds of food expos all across the United States. I mean, you can go to the Western food expos out in California. Then they got, you know, the Florida food expos coming up. Of course, you got New York City always has a big one. Texas has one. Yeah. I mean, just Chicago. I mean, there's no excuse not to get to an expo, really. You know?
100%.
Yeah.
So to your point, wherever education opportunities lie is so back to manager, leader, owner, mm-hmm, as leader or manager,
mm-hmm,
so those kind of moments to mentor and guide somebody to the right book,
right,
the right show or the right seminar,
mm-hmm,
it's priceless.
Priceless. I used to do that when I had my restaurants. I would, you know, give books. You know, back then, of course, it was like audio tapes,
right,
cassettes. And so that's how dated we are. You know, I used to give out cassettes, and stuff like that. You know, Zig Ziglar, you know, stuff like that, Jim Rohn. And and nowadays you can get like, you can get subscriptions online. Yeah. You can do podcasts. Or you can get you can do Audibles and stuff like that. I subscribe to a lot. There's some great podcasts out there. Eric Cacciatore has a great, you know, Restaurant Unstoppable is a great podcast. Chris Hill has another great one. Making the Cut. I mean, there's some great podcasts out there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. So let me kind of, because I know I had somebody sent me a question earlier, because you know you hear a lot of talk about millennials and how hard they are to manage. You know. How can a leader kind of overcome that gap?
Wow. You know, this is one of my favorite topics.
Oh, nice.
We just did a blog on Mick.com about millennials, and this is one of the great myths in our industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
My God, they don't have any work ethic. Oh, my God, they just want to be the boss. Oh, my God, they just want high wages. Oh, my, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God, they talk back to me, right?
Oh, yeah.
How dare they? How dare they? I'm the boss, right? What? So number one, we bred that in that generation. Everybody that is your age or my age or older, get over it. We created this. So, number one, laugh at ourselves. Get over it.
Right.
In all seriousness. What I love about millennials is that if I go to that place we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm,
of define excellence.
Yes.
Coach to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Share with them the story that a restaurant is about a restoral of soul.
Yes.
That we actually change people's lives with a good morning from a Starbucks or a Pete's or whatever the coffee is or quick service. Name any, mm-hmm, one of the fast food companies, quick service companies. Mm-hmm. Name any one of the fast casuals that are great. No matter what my segment is, I can make a difference in this person's life, not just fill their belly. And if I, as an owner and a manager, am willing to go to that place, millennials will stand in line to go to work for us.
Oh yeah, no.
Because what they and I apologize for any of you millennials watching or listening. It's not my intention to be stereotypic here. At the same time, in really general terms, what is this age group looking for?
Right.
Purpose. passion, values, inspire me. Give me inspiration, yes, and I'll die for you, right? It's incredible. So, what? And the funny part of this is what that means, the tough part for the guys my age, guys and gals my age, or anybody in between, is, oh my gosh, I as a leader, mm-hmm, as a manager, have to work a little bit. I've got to do the work to define excellence,
yes,
to be inspiring instead of just be a cop. So it's not about them, it's about us.
Right.
And am I ready to meet them and inspire them, support them with, mm-hmm, definitions of excellence, train them, and they will perform. And we see this, I am seeing this, I'm working with, we have 8 different clients right now in 4 different countries. And not only the restaurant business, but a couple other industries as well. And the millennials are showing up big time,
yes,
when we behave in the ways I just talked about.
Yes.
Period. End of subject.
Yes.
So there's the change and the opportunity we have, is let go of the gray hair and saying, this is the way I've always done it, and actually go back to the mentorship part.
Right.
I'll stop there. I could go on, but
oh yeah, me too. I mean, yeah, a lot of those things. I think those are belief systems. You know, we talk about that, and you know, in psychology and stuff like that. And belief, yeah, systems are what hold people back. And you know, belief systems to me, basically, if you want to be honest, I always say belief systems are nothing more than just a bunch of bullshit and stuff. You know, these are outdated like beliefs that you're holding on to, and the more you cling on to them, trust me, the more they're going to hold your restaurant back. You got to drop that stuff. You got to come up, yeah, with a new belief.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah. If you know, to restate or take one more cut at this, I would say what millennials want, mm-hmm, more than, in my experience, men, women, regardless of their background, mm-hmm, I want to be inspired.
Yes.
I want to be challenged.
Yes.
I want to be given autonomy,
mm-hmm,
which if I give them autonomy, that means I've got to define excellence and train them,
yes,
to be autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And otherwise, get out of the way. If you want to hold on and be a cop, you're done.
Yeah.
Millennials are not going to go there.
No, they definitely don't. And they bail fast when they don't, when you act like that.
Oh.
That, yeah.
Yep.
But. Yeah. So if I had to ask you,
that's another show in itself.
That's a whole show right there. We could go on a whole tangent about that. I mean, we could really rant and rave about that for sure. So if I had to define success as a recipe, if you were making a recipe for success, what would you say? What 3 ingredients would you say have to be in there?
I'm gonna. For fear of being redundant, I would say, actually, I will change this slightly. I would say figure out how is my restaurant, mm-hmm, concept changing people's lives?
Yes.
How I'm not just feeding your belly or, right, giving you a great drink. How is that food or that drink making a difference? How do you get to count on me as the restaurateur?
Mm-hmm.
Define that first. Then define excellence around it. What does service look like? What does production look like? And then coach to the positive.
Right.
And do my numbers. Do the numbers. Do not pretend you know. Do your numbers and get your P&L out by the 10th of the month. If you can do daily costing.
Yes.
Those are actually simple steps. They're simple. They're not easy. They demand discipline.
Yeah, that would.
But those 4 steps.
Right.
Those 4 steps, kick it.
And I think discipline is something I think I see discipline as something that a lot of restaurant operators and, you know, and managers that, you know, want to be leaders. Discipline is something it's definitely something that's lacking a lot in our industry. And I think it's because we get so caught up in distraction, you know, we get caught up in the moment. We don't empower and enable our team to take care of situations. We only, like you said before, I always feel like, you know, oh, I got to take care of it. I got to take care of it. No one else can do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. You know, you can.
You don't
have to do it.
Delegate absolutely anything I can delegate, and right, hold on to the two or three things that I absolutely must hold on to.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah. So yeah. Any upcoming projects you got coming up? Any places you're speaking at?
I'm speaking at, and I'll be at Foodable.io in Chicago at the National Restaurant Association meeting. Mm-hmm. I'll be there with you.
Yes,
so that,
we'll be
that's
there.
Exciting. That's in late May.
Yeah, May 19th. May 19th is the Foodable.io event. If you haven't gotten tickets for the Foodable.io event, please go to the website at www.foodable.io. There, Paul, I gave you
good
a plug.
There you go. Go, Paul Barron. Another great food guy.
Another great. Oh, and he definitely a cutting edge innovator as far as the restaurant scene. So.
Yeah. And I'm doing some really, really fun work with Consolidated Restaurants up in Seattle.
Oh, nice.
With Metropolitan Grill and Elliot's Oyster House. That has been an ongoing, terrific project for us. And I'm still doing work with Nick's Pizza and Pub outside of Chicago in mm-hmm. Crystal Lake, which is Nick is a great example of a person that just keeps on learning and applying. And we're actually just starting work on our own restaurant project for LA, scheduled for late 2018.
Oh, very cool.
So
I'll be out. Yeah. I'll be in LA, April. I'm doing a GM conference for, a restaurant group out there. So I always like getting out to LA. LA's
always good. So I'll look forward to seeing you at the NRA and,
right.
Certainly anybody that's watching and listening could certainly check us both out up there as well. It'd be fun.
And of course I'll put the links up to your website too, right? Which is just, what is it? www.mick.com, right?
It's mick.com mm-hmm. with two I's.
Two
I's. Michael, IICK.com. And I absolutely look forward to hearing from our viewers, mm-hmm. and we'll get right back to you. That's my commitment.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, you know, this broadcast will be up on Facebook Live on my Restaurant Coach page. But then also, too, you'll see it probably in about a week. It'll come up as a podcast episode on the Restaurant Coach podcast, which is available for download at iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Shameless shelf promotion. Hey, well, you know, Rudy, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time tonight. And of course, all the links will be added to the post. Anybody interested in ways to contact Rudy to make a real difference in your leadership team and to show you some of his really, he has some fantastic insight and just some really great tools and techniques and tips to help you really manage your whole operations and your business better. So in closing, what I want to say is, you know, leadership definitely it's a mindset, and it starts first with stepping up and acting like the leader. Words are powerful. If you read my blogs, listen to my podcast, you know, words are very powerful. And if you want to be a true leader, you need to really do what the first four letters of the word leader says. It's lead. You know, there's two types of goal setting kind of in the world techniques. There's basically push and pull. You know, the same's for managers versus being a leader. One pushes the team from behind, and the other sets the example and pulls the team by being out in front, setting the examples and using some of the same things that you know, that Rudy talked about, you know, defining the definitions of what excellence is, defining what the standards are, and leading and showing and definitely and getting up. I always say, get up on your soapbox every day and preach what your standards are and what your vision is, what your core values are. You need to do that. That's what a leader does, is basically it gets on top. And it's always a choice if you want to be a manager or you want to be a leader. And the choice is always yours. And of course, you know, if you're looking for more tools to take your restaurant to the next level, please go and stop by my new website, a new place. I have the Restaurant Coach University. There's online courses there that will actually help you build your brand, strengthen your team, and increase your profits. Some of the courses, of course, are free. Don't tell my accountant that. He freaks out when I ever mention any stuff for free. But you can go visit at www.restaurantcoachuniversity.com. And again, Rudy, thank you so much. I know you're over in Texas tonight on the road. How is Texas treating you?
Texas is great. And Don, it's been terrific to be on the show with you. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you
I
so much.
I love your work and rock on, man.
All right.
Let's go.
Everyone have a great night. And if you guys are in Chicago in May, stop by the Foodable I.O. event. Rudy and I will be there. And we'll also be probably hanging out around the Foodable TV booth at the NRA show. So please stop by. Yeah. We love to meet people. We love to talk. Yeah. Everyone have a great night.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.donaldburns.net or download episodes at iTunes and Stitcher Radio.